everybody. I hope that you're actually hearing this. This is episode 11. Take fucking three of Nitro Beard episode 11. I'm your cheerful host. Hopefully my mood will just get better because, three times. We've tried this fucking thing three times. And, I'm just waiting for something to go wrong.
It's a bit of a Debbie Downer.
It is. I mean, this almost feels kind of like an intervention. You know? how you had just negative feedback from all of it, and then you have to, sit down in the conference room and be like, all right, I'm gonna be a man about it, and I'm gonna confront my fears. That's what it feels like. But, yeah, I'm your host, Mr. Wes Gardner, and as you heard, Brian Belita, who is also mentally exhausted after recording... after recording two of these, this is the third.
I've got a bib on right now in case I just start drooling.
And our special guest, which I hinted at, I don't know, about 30 times during the Cinco de Mayo thing. That's all said. There should be a drinking game about how many times I say special guest on that.
I do have rum here.
Oh.
I thought initially you said ramen. It's a terrible thing to do a drinking game.
Oh, God. That would be...
One bite of solid dry ramen.
I'll tell you what, though. Yeah, dry ramen, those little baggies of it, you, crush them up, and you eat them like potato chips. It's actually good.
I've done it before.
Not too bad.
I don't know how to respond to that. How have you sunk so low?
Oh, being... there you go. That's it right there. That is the college lifestyle. And especially...
Man, I'm in college, and I can afford boiled water.
I barely can.
In this economy? In this economy? Yeah.
You're wasting it. America's downfall is because of all the boiled water. But yes, our special guest, and you'll have to pronounce your last name, George, because like I said, I'm horrible with pronunciation.
It is Cavalines.
Cavalines. Okay, yeah, that does make more sense, because I had some weird, ulterior motive kind of,
You wanted to, and I'm just saying this just from always seeing your Steam name, I wanted to call you, Georgius Cavalinius.
The third.
Yeah, usually the whole, people just recognize it as a Greek name, and they're like, oh, it's Cavulanius, and I'm just parents change it when they came to America so you guys can pronounce it. Please.
Just bastardize it.
You'll be right.
Take out your Bud Light, stop chewing your gum, scratch your tongue, begin to say George Cavalines.
There you go.
Exactly.
Perfect. Perfect. And this is our PC Gaming Special. This is our third PC Gaming Special.
And we've since this is the third time, we've thrown all our PCs out the window. We're now recording this on a Mac.
Yeah. This is actually through the, what was that very first infrastructure that the military used where it would almost be almost like a Morse code, but a little bit more advanced?
Telegrams?
that's not right at all. I don't know. I mean, we're going to apologize in advance. We're kind of having to get our groove back because we are just waiting for something else to go wrong.
I don't think it's so much that. At this point, we're just like, fuck it, just do whatever in this podcast.
Yeah, because, I mean, literally, all three of us combined have not only just done this episode, but talked about PC games with the intention that it would have been recorded for a combined about 6 hours. Like, for real.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So, we've already talked about them. we've discussed that link together.
Yeah.
And then
Wes and I met up and we talked about for, I don't know, I guess an hour and a half just talking about GTA 4 and City of Heroes.
Yeah. And that was a good show too. And it's fucking gone. But, c'est la vie,
I suppose. Just let it go, man. Just take a deep breath. Put it out to sea.
Yeah, this one's...
Although I'm kind of glad because now I'm playing some stuff that I was not playing before. So if we're gonna do the quick overview of what we've been playing, then man, I got some good stuff to talk about.
That's kind of how I am, and that's actually a good idea. How about Brian? You go first. Tell us what you've been doing.
Okay. Well, I finally beat Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yes.
That was awesome. Fucking fantastic game. I feel like I'm. Groundhog Day, because I've already said all this stuff.
Like repeating yourself, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but no, hands down, just a fantastic game, and I know I'm going to keep playing it with you since you got the PC version now, Wes, and I've always been playing with my friend, just, you know, online free mode, just messing around, so I beat that, and so now that that's off my plate, I'm now delving all the way into Xenoclash on Steam.
Nice.
PC gaming, woo. And then on the other side of things, I got my copy of Demon's Souls for the PS3.
Ah, yes.
And this is the game, if you remember, I talked about a while ago, when I said that I was preparing myself for by playing Spelunky and Rogue Touch on my iPhone.
Right.
And yeah, it's pretty much just that. I mean, it is a brutal, brutal, bleak game. I don't even know how to explain it. It's not out in America right now, but apparently I think it's just the Korean or Chinese version. Mm-hmm. It's basically all in English anyways. So, I mean, there have been people nice. Left and right, and it's great, yeah. I'm not sure how I can explain it. My recommendation would be just to go look it up and find out about it, but it's brutal, and it's awesome. And, you know, there's loot. The combat is just, it's unforgiving. I mean, like, I was running along in the very first level you play, and I ran into, like, this red-eyed knight with this lance, and he killed me in one shot.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. And its similarity in a roguelike comes along, and that as you're going through killing guys, you collect their souls, which is basically the currency in the game. Now, when you die, you don't lose your items, which is nice, but you lose all your souls, and you have one chance, one life, to go back and find your body and retrieve those souls again. So it has a little bit of leeway, but man, I died the first time and I had like 2,500 souls, all the souls I collected since I started the game. And I was just like, shit. And it makes it more intense and being really careful. And,
right.
But I didn't get them back, so.
Sounds like a corpse run in EverQuest.
Yeah.
it's so bad.
The game is really fun. I mean, it's, like I said, it's a brutal game, but you'll get out of it what you put into it. And I fully intend on putting a lot into this because it's a lot of fun. And it's got online co-op.
Oh, wow. See, and on games like that, how does a saving system work? I mean, because you would think on a game that unforgiving, if it had a bad save system, it would almost be too frustrating to even...
It pretty much saves constantly in the background. Mm-hmm. So if you... There's kind of like a central hub, the Nexus, and... I don't know. I don't quite know how it works, but I know that it pretty much saves constantly. So if you die or quit in the middle, it will pretty much save everything you've done.
Okay.
But it will restart you in the Nexus. So if I've been playing in this one map for like an hour and I'm just before the last boss and then I gotta go to dinner and I have to turn off the PS3, it'll save all the items and stuff I've collected,
right,
but not my position. I'll have to backtrack. But luckily, as you go through, you unlock certain shortcuts that you can then use.
Okay.
When you're doing that level over again. But I have heard that, and apparently some people have used this, if you die, if you're quick enough to just like hold down the PS button and quit, it won't save your death, so you'll restart having not died. And just, you know, in the Nexus. So it's kind of cheating. I won't use it because I'm a...
Well, that also sounds kind of...
Freshman.
What if it doesn't work quite right and you like exit out while it's saving? Yeah, I can just see that causing problems.
Yeah. Yeah. And then let's see, the last two things I'll just do real quick. Again, I feel like I already mentioned this because technically I did, but a huge thanks to Ether on the forums. My friend Patrick, who I've known, I went to college with and hung out, lots of playing video games, he gifted me Braid on Steam, and I've been really enjoying that. It's gorgeous to look at. It's just fun to play. It's a really cool game. And then the last thing is I got Rhythm Heaven for the DS on my birthday. And that's also...
And your birthday was this past Sunday?
Yes, this past Sunday.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so I did add a few games since last time we talked about this.
I know. Right? Yeah, so what about you, Wes?
I actually got myself a copy of, on the non-PC side, of Phantasy Star Portable for the PSP. And I played a little bit of Phantasy Star Online back in the day. I mean, very, very little, probably less than 10 hours completely, just because it was the time I didn't have a good internet connection. It was just kind of, you know, more of a hassle to play it online than anything.
Gotcha.
But it is bringing back memories. Like, it's bringing back that old nostalgia kick. And, I mean, if you're a fan of Phantasy Star, like the Phantasy Star Online, or there's a PC one, isn't there, called, like,
Blue Burst.
Yeah. And, I mean, so if you're familiar with that, or if you're familiar with how that gameplay structure works, it's exactly the same. You start off in kind of a main hub area, or like a, can't remember exactly what they call it, but it's basically a lobby. And you go, yeah, and you can get your missions, you can talk to different people. And the way they actually did the talking to people, I know in the more elaborate versions of the game, you actually run around and you can talk to people in a lobby. But in Phantasy Star Portable, they made it a top-down map. And it has little icons that you can go to. And at first, I didn't think I'd like that. I was like, oh, maybe this might jip out some of the, I don't know, exploration aspect of it. But it actually works really well. You can see exactly who you need to talk to because it has a little icon. And whenever you go over there, whenever they're done telling you everything they have to tell you, their icon, like, dims out. Like, they're still there, but it dims so you know, okay, I learned everything I needed to from that person. And then you
That's
can,
handy.
Yeah, you can keep going from person to person. So it does make it, you know, really easy and accessible.
Oh, you know, I actually watched the most recent this past week episode of Co-op, the old One-Up Show guys, and I think that, they talked about the PSP Phantasy Star, and it looks kind of neat.
Yeah, they did, and they have really good coverage on it, and they kind of explain it probably better than I ever could. That's on Revision 3, and just, type Revision 3.
Yeah, go watch it, because those guys are great. I just love that show.
It is very, very good. And, kind of what they hearken on is kind of the same way I feel about it, that I wish I had someone else to play with. Because it doesn't have the infrastructure mode where you can play online, but apparently there's some sort of Japanese tunneling software you can get
Is it like X-Link Kai, I think?
I think so, the Japanese PlayStation 3 store. And, I haven't tried it, and I haven't even set it up or really looked into it. But if your PlayStation 3 is wired, like, you can't be using your wireless signal, basically what it does is it tunnels your wireless signal for your PlayStation 3 into making basically the ad hoc, which is the LAN portion of your PSP, into an infrastructure mode. So you can actually play with people around the world, but it thinks that it's a LAN game, that the person's right next to you, but the hell, they could be in Japan.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool, and I really want to try that, because that is one of those games that it's pretty fun, you know, pretty cool to pick up and play every once in a while by yourself. But if I had other people to play with, that's probably all I'd be doing.
Oh, yeah, I love Phantasy Star Online, but I tried doing Blue Burst alone, like, because before it came to America, you had to, like, go through some weird thing. It had to be, like, custom servers, kind of like a Ragnarok Online thing.
Right.
So there was, like, one or two people online at any given time. I was like, yeah, this is too boring. But then Blue Burst came out, and I played with the Penny Arcade people, and I was like, oh, I can get sucked back into this so easily.
It is. It's super rewarding. It's really instant gratification, and you can the cool thing about Phantasy Star Portable, and I can't remember right offhand if you could do this in the other versions, but you can have like 6 weapons equipped at a time. And,
really?
And you can you basically hold down the O button, and it brings up a radio menu, and you can switch between those on the fly. So let's say if there's like enemies with heavy armor, you can get out your long lance, so it'll swing a little bit slower, but it'll hit a lot harder. And everyone can do this. So, you know, I have my, like, dual pistols. I think I'm the basic hunter class, so it's kind of the catch-all. You know, he's good at a little bit of everything, but he's not great at anything.
Yeah.
He can hold, like, I have one where I'm holding a gun, holding a sword, another one where I'm, like, dual-wielding swords, one where I'm dual-wielding guns. So, yeah, I mean, you can really mix and match it to your play style. So, I mean, in that regard, it's really rewarding. But if you're a fan of that type of gameplay, like the hack-and-slash dungeon crawl stuff, I do recommend it. I highly recommend it. But and on the PC side of things, that's where a majority of my time has been going. Grand Theft Auto 4, like Brian's been doing, I've been getting into that, and I've noticed that that's going to be my game that kind of ups my Steam rating, because I can lose so many hours on that game. Doing that, making movies, the video editor's really, really cool and easy to use. Doing that, and also been playing a lot of The Witcher. Now that I have a PC that can run it, The Witcher is incredible. And I was going to say, you know, I do recommend it for people because look out, it's coming onto the consoles. But apparently that version was either canceled or funding's not going right or something like that. So if you have even a decent PC, get The Witcher because it's a basic role-playing game. It's kind of the over-the-shoulder It uses the same engine that Neverwinter Nights 2 does, but it's really refined. It's
I've been meaning to get that out, because I know one of the platformers, Jan Turiu, who I don't know, I think we might have a guest soon. I recommend. I know he's played a lot of it and he's recommended it, so I need to do that.
It really does have a good habit of rewarding you for decisions that you have to make using your intellect. I mean, it does have that kind of good and evil aspect to it, but there's no lever or there's no little menu that says, well, now you're 2% better or now you're 2% more evil and people don't like you as much or, you know, whatever it is. You just make your choice and then you have to deal with it as much as anyone else in the game has to deal with it too. So if you accidentally kill someone, well, guess what? They're dead. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Sucks to be them. You know, I mean, you just kind of have to take it and go, but, and it makes for some really kind of emotional moments whenever you get kind of attached to someone or something happens and you want to take it back, but you can't. They really thrive on that. So I do recommend it. But, George, how about you? I just saw right before the show you were playing some Left 4 Dead, but, anything else?
Oh, well, yeah. I'm always playing Left 4 Dead. Today I got recently addicted to Plants vs. Zombies, which is, I love zombies, love tower defenses, and to mix the two with the sense of humor the game has just sucked me right in. And, you know, that's the kind of PopCap Games thing. You know, they make this tiny little game, but, oh, it's so goddamn addictive. I'll be playing this for probably like a week or something. Aside from that, Kevar actually, to name drop whatever, gifted me Deus Ex, so I've been starting that a little bit.
Yes.
Game I should have played years ago, but just getting into now. And I finally get that goddamn I wanted orange but it gave me lemon lime joke.
Yeah, there's a lot of like internet memes that are based on the game that just, they kind of work on their own, but whenever you see them in the game you're like, oh, it's kind of like
open. I heard it for years and like I know people laugh their asses off at it, like forum posts, you know, and I'm like, what's so funny about that? <It's> like, I felt stupid bringing it up, like, is orange kind of a joke or something? But
but how are you liking it so far? I mean, that's probably my favorite game ever, is Deus Ex.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, and once you get near the end, you'll probably see why. Because, I mean, they literally lay the groundwork for stuff, like, especially like Bioshock. Like, you know, Bioshock's almost, in some ways, a remake of Deus Ex.
Like, oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of the stuff, like how they have all the details in like newspapers and other stuff you just find looking around if you're observant enough, and you can find a lot more information than the game actually gives you itself.
Right. Yeah, and a lot of it actually deals with real-world stuff, like Majestic 12 and, you know, like Hong Kong gaining its independence and stuff like that. Like, this stuff really happens. So, I mean, it kind of does, you know, the whole Dan Brown thing of it mixes the fiction of the universe that they've created with reality.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of times where it kind of breaks the fourth wall. And then you go on Wikipedia and you're like, I wonder what part of that's actually true. And then, you know, you start reading about it and then you end up spending an entire night on Wikipedia because it links you to everything else. But yeah, I'm really glad like more people are playing it.
Aside from that, I grabbed the new Fallout 3 downloadable content, but I haven't actually got to it because this one actually does activate areas after the main quest is done, thankfully. Sure. And it raises level cap to 30, but that's, you know, old news for anyone with a PC.
Right.
But yeah, I was hoping to get to it to comment on it, but since I just restarted the game before downloading it, I didn't reach the actual content yet. Hopefully this one is actually worth it as opposed to the other packs. Like, I'd say if people can get all three as some sort of package deal, then they should get it, but the first two I tried definitely weren't worth any sort of money.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is sad because they lay the groundwork for a lot of amazing stuff, but then they just do nothing with it.
That's what I heard. I heard it's just a lot of combat and, yeah, you can pay however much money to shoot more stuff for 2 hours, but it really doesn't expand on anything.
Yeah, most of it is just like, oh, I want new power armor, or I want this new spiffy gun. And the actual, you know, the equipment is nice, but it's not really worth like $10 or something.
Right, yeah. Once again, DLC pricing structure needs to be up the ass.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But yeah, I think that's it for all what I'm playing.
Nice. Cool. Good deal. And with that, we'll take a really quick break, and then we'll come back to whatever we're going to talk about. It's going to be PC gaming oriented, whatever it is. But I think this is where we're really going to start getting into the heart of what this show is all about. But yeah, stay tuned, guys. We'll be right back.
Console suck.
Break. We had some weird conversation during the break, but we're going to move on from that.
Well, let's see. Yeah, I'm going to summer exit pop some, or, sorry, George pop some pills, then he was coughing for a bit, and then...
Yeah, if I say anything loopy, just don't mind me.
Right. We don't know what the pills were. He says they were headache medicine, but I'm not too sure.
I don't remember what happened other than him popping the pills.
So crazy, man. I can see colors. But, but we're back in this second segment. We're kind of try to do like some sort of crossfire interview / questionnaire / Nitrobeard cast mailbag type thing where we don't have any user mail, but it's all...
No, it's all mail from us to each other.
To one another. It's like those Valentine's things that you had in elementary school when you had to make one for everyone and like put them in the bag. You got to put your Valentine's in the bag. You can't forget Billy. Billy doesn't have any Valentine's.
Right, except it's just between three of us, and we're all dudes.
Yeah, so some sort of like bromance.
Hey, it worked for Tai Nadama.
No, that's... Yes! Okay, forget it. Second segment, Battlestar Galactica talk.
Billy, God damn it.
Okay, question for Kami now, since we're mailbagging. If you could airlock any member of the Galactica crew, who would it be?
Any member.
You cannot say Hilo, because everyone wants to airlock.
I didn't have a problem with Hilo. I know really? Brian's about to blow his brains out right now that we're on the Galactica talk. I didn't mind Hilo. I mean, his character was kind of annoying because he was exactly right all the time.
Yeah.
He was not wrong, ever. He was always the moral high ground, but I didn't really have a problem with him. It was sometimes... Grace Park just got on my nerves, man. I don't know
really?
If it's acting style or what. I mean, she did great as, like, a few of her characters, but then I think it was, like, Boomer was okay, and,
Athena.
And Athena, Boomer! Boo! Boo! But I'd probably have to say it would have to be, Sharon.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd get rid of the eye candy.
I would get rid of the... There's more... I mean, come on, man. You had Starbuck. You had Caprica 6. You had Natalie. Come on, now. You had some gorgeous...
And I'm still proud I called that.
You did call it. No, and that is true. In the first user mail episode, you asked which one I would pick, what model of 6 I would be, and I said Natalie. And you called it, like, an hour before the show went up, and I was like, God damn it. I knew exactly which one I was going to pick. But I think everyone would pick Natalie, honestly.
I would.
I'd pick Head 6. That's why I said you couldn't pick Head 6, because I'm Head 6.
Oh, that's wrong. I disapprove.
That's too bad for you.
How dare you? How dare you? All right, PC games.
Oh, yeah.
A minute talking about Battlestar Galactica is a minute hating PC games. You socialist, fascist pigs.
The Cylons win.
Wasn't there actually a Galactica PC game or some sort of
thing?
A mod or something?
Yeah, there was a really bad shooter for the 360. And it did come out for the PC, but the thing that I'm really excited about is apparently there's a Battlestar Galactica mod for Homeworld 2, which is a real-time shooter game.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking of.
Yeah, and supposedly it's really kick-ass. Like, amazingly kick-ass. You can play, I think, all of Season 1 from the show. Like, ooh. You can play 33, you can play, like, the episodes. So they kind of give you the plot structure and everything. But all right, in this segment, I think, because, I mean, we all have played so many PC games, like, dating back to late 80s, very early 90s.
Wes.
Yes, sir.
First PC game. First PC game you played. Go.
Ever?
Ever.
Ever. And okay, and what would classify? I mean, are we like not counting stuff like Minesweeper and stuff like that, or does it have?
No, like no games like that, no built-in Windows games.
Okay, so if something you have to put a disc in, install it.
Yeah.
Probably, and I know this is going to be a dumb answer because it's not a hardcore awesome game. I mean, it's an awesome game, but it's not really a one that people think of. It's one of the Lynx golf games, like. Me and my dad used to play this all the time.
I used to do the same thing. I think I'm pretty sure it was PGA or no. You played like I played PGA Tour Golf like I think 1990 that edition.
Wow.
And I put so many hours into that one. It wasn't the first one I played, but yeah, I put so many hours into that with my dad. And I think at the time I was young enough that I thought like by winning the competitions that I would my computer would print money. For me.
Right, and you would get faxed.
Seriously, I really did, yeah.
Oh.
See, but I think actually the PC game that I first remember, like, have vivid memories of, like, okay, this is exclusive to the PC, awesome game, and it's like a timeless thing, is the Blade Runner adventure game by Westwood. Westwood made some awesome point-and-click adventure games, but yeah. Like, I actually played the Blade Runner game before I watched Blade Runner the movie. So that was actually my first real cyberpunk anything, and I was like, holy crap, this guy has it's a handgun, but it looks like a laser gun. Like, it kind of blew my mind as a kid. I was like, oh man, he has a trench coat, and there's a big blimp flying overhead. I don't know what to do. So, but yeah, that was a great game, and I actually played it not too long ago, and it still holds up. Still.
So is that the young you voice?
That is, yeah, I sound like the Werther's original grandpa whenever I was a young man.
So it's like the Curious Case of Benjamin Button or something.
Right. Back in my day when we played the Blade Runner.
Yeah.
All those blades are running.
George, what about you? First PC game played.
Either Operation Wolf, well, probably that, but I think it was also an arcade game, so I'm not sure if that actually counts.
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, because it didn't come out on any, like... It didn't come out on any home consoles or anything, did it?
I think it did. I think it did first, actually. I think the PC version came second.
Really?
Maybe. I'm not sure. Either way, the definite first would be Myst.
Oh, good times.
Oh, fuck Myst.
Good times.
I love Myst, but I just want to punch it in the face.
They just released it on iPhone, like a port of it.
Seriously?
Yeah, for like $5 or $6.
I would get an iPhone just to play that.
I don't want to do that because I'll get like pissed off on the bus. Like, oh, how's your day? Like, I don't know what this wheel does. I turn it and nothing happens.
you tell me what this fucking puzzle means.
There's numbers and little smiley faces and I don't know what they mean.
These constellations are broken. doesn't make sense at all. Good choice, though. Like, adventure games, you know, that's where it was at, man. Like, the old school stuff. Man, they just don't make them like that anymore.
That's true. They don't.
For a while I had a Mac, so the reason I played Myst first is because my cousin had it, and it was on her PC. Mm-hmm. But myself, I didn't play any games, like, actually on my computer until I got a PC, and sometime in the 90s, I ended up getting, well, it might have been actually 2000, whatever. But I ended up getting The Longest Journey. So I started with adventure games, and I started again with adventure games.
Very good. I haven't played The Longest Journey, but I always see it on Steam, and I'm like,
really, really good, but I would not recommend Dreamfall or any of the others.
Really? Because I like Dreamfall. I didn't beat Dreamfall, and I heard it has a ridiculous ending. But, from what I play, I probably put, 7 or 8 hours in Dreamfall, and I really liked what I played of it, at least.
Yeah, I've got The Longest Journey in my Steam account, but I have not played it yet. I just haven't had the time that I want to, be able just to sink into it.
Right.
The thing I hated about Dreamfall, and I'm not sure if... I think Siberia is also part of the trilogy or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
But I know Dreamfall tried to, mix an action game and, actual combat in with everything else, and it just didn't work. Longest Journey had some action scenes, but it was, very point-and-click action. It was kind of, Clock Tower-esque kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
But Dreamfall trying to mix everything together, it just came out very weird for me, and I couldn't decide if I wanted to be an action game or an adventure game.
Yeah, I think the reason why I liked it is I played it on the original Xbox. And the original Xbox was full of games like that. Because, do you guys remember that game Breakdown? Where it was the first-person game where it was kind of Matrix-y. And it had the first-person combat, kind of like the Chronicles of Riddick game. But it was really clunky. So, my experience with the original Xbox was just a bunch of clunky games that didn't know what they wanted to be. So Dreamfall fit, right in. But that, I knew that there was something great to it because I had to look past the clunky controls and stuff like that. But, I wouldn't know how it would transfer really well to the PC if it kept that same kind of pseudo-action.
And there's nothing like those games that'll, have you with, a notepad and a pen next to you. So you're all right, I gotta draw this map and, all right, I got all these symbols and all right, all right, I gotta record this information. Yeah.
And Brian, I know you and I both played the Legend of Carandia series.
Yes.
Back in the day.
By far, I think, definitely one of my favorite games of all time. The entire series. I think specifically the second one, The Hand of Fate, was my favorite of the three.
Mm-hmm.
I think definitely my favorite adventure game of all time.
Yeah, there's some great
adventure.
Great characterizations and some really memorable music, too.
The music is wonderful.
It had that big grand journey feel, which was nice, but it also had a great sense of humor about a lot of stuff. So
yeah, it really did. And then let's see. I think the first game, I can't remember the first game that I played, but I know the first game I bought with my own money was Dig Dug on a 5 1/4-inch floppy.
Nice. And
I loved the shit out of that game.
Oh yeah.
Played it so much that, and I think my brother at the same time that I got that bought Karateka, and you probably. Everyone out there probably knows it in the form of the karate guy doing that dance.
Oh,
that
yeah.
They have, animated figures doing that, that dance. That
with that woman in bleachers and...
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah. And so that, and there was one other game that was early on, I know. It was almost like a Space Invaders type game where it was, shooting, hordes of enemies coming in, mm-hmm. but it wasn't, and I can't remember the name of it. It was really colorful. Had some really catchy techno-y music. If anyone knows even remotely what I'm talking about, post it in the comments for this cast or whatever, and let me know because I can't remember the name of it.
I remember playing some games like that too. I don't know if it was probably the same stuff, but a lot of the top-down shooters, just because normally my PC gaming as an early PC gamer was all those bundle discs that either came with a new computer and it's like. Here's a new version of Hexic, or whatever, and you could put the disc in, or here's a version of Warzone such and such. You know, those kind of popular games, but the reason why they were popular is because they were given away with computers.
Right.
And, so I played a majority of those, and those were so bad. those were bad games.
You mentioned overhead shooters, and I just have to mention, I think, probably my favorite shoot 'em up of all time, Tyrion. Oh my god. I sunk so many hours into playing that game. It's just the most fun shoot 'em up I've ever played, I think.
And it's PC?
PC, yeah. It might have been released on other systems, I'm not sure. But as far as kind of old classic games, it's definitely so much fun. If you haven't played it, you should, because it's, I mean, fucking huge, massive weapon upgrade. Like, your laser takes up the whole screen. It's just amazing.
Nice. All right, next question. I thought of a pretty good one. Your most memorable PC gaming moment. And, like, it can be about the game. You don't have to explain the mechanics of the game or anything, unless it, like, adds to the story. But the one moment in PC gaming that, like, whenever you think of gaming on the computer, you think of, well, gaming on PC is awesome because of, and then, okay, what's your all's favorite story that you have? It can be any game.
Favorite story or favorite, like, moment that happened in the game? Like, moment as in story moment?
Yeah, well, as in, like, your personal, like, whenever I first started playing such and such, I got it Christmas morning, like, that kind of story. Like, not a narrative in a game, but more like a story about a computer game. Or, like, a moment that may have happened that you were like, holy shit, this is mind-blowing.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. There are so many. One that just at least pops in my head right now, and I know there are so many more. But a kind of little-known game by, I think, Quantic Dream is the name of the studio.
Mm-hmm.
They made a game called Omicron the Nomad Soul, which I know you were just talking about, Dreamfall and Longest Journey, where they tried to mix combat and stuff. Mm-hmm. And this game was kind of in that vein. It had a lot of kind of adventure elements, you know, finding key cards, solving puzzles and stuff. But it touted itself as having, like, every single kind of gameplay. It had first-person shooter sections. It had, like, a fighter section, like, you know, Street Fighter, where you had, you know, had to learn punches and kicks and all that, all your moves and stuff.
Right.
And it had RPG elements, and it was just a really, really wonderful game. Long, hugely immersive, and it was a really great game. But I think one of the moments that stands out in my mind, and again, go back to your question, was when your wife in-game dies.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what from, but I remember at that moment I was just like, holy shit. I mean, like, it really affected me. I was like, I can't remember how old I was when I played. I played it shortly after it came out, so whenever it came out. But yeah, I just remember after that happened, like, that, I mean, that just sticks in my head as being one of the moments where I was just like, man, these are people in the game, in this world. And I don't know. It just kind of stuck with me.
It gave you, like, that sense of loss that rarely ever happens anymore, because every game tries to pull something like that.
Yeah.
Whenever your first time being exposed to it, you're like, holy crap, like, you can't do that, can you? Like, come on now.
Let's see. So I think that's at least one of, like I said, I know there's so many more.
Right.
But,
See, I was gonna expect one of you to say Narpig. Yes.
Well, that's true. That was a pretty great PC moment. I'm kind of trying to go back, back in time for these questions, but I shouldn't.
Right, George. How about you? Is there anything that really stands out to you? Like, this was a moment while you were playing a PC game that really, you know, stuck out to you.
There was one time I was with I was playing Counter-Strike Source with the Penny Arcade people,
mm-hmm.
and since we all moved in like a mass, sometimes we'd meet like, you know, some clan, and we'd be like, oh, let's scrim, whatever. And you know, none of the people, Penny Arcade people, really cared. It's just like, yeah, sure, whatever. And we happened to get a team together, and we, you know, hopped in their server or whatever. And I forget how exactly it happened, but like, some of our people left in the middle of the first game, and some of the people died. I ended up being like the last dude against like 10 guys with just a Desert Eagle, and I took every one of those sons of bitches out.
Oh, shit.
And it is the only time I've ever played Counter-Strike Source well. At all. After the game, they realized we didn't have enough people, so like, oh, we should just restart. And I'm like, no! You gotta keep my shit!
Right.
Everything.
Oh.
And he was like, no, let's restart. And I was like, god damn it.
Oh, man. Oh, that is heroic, though, because that's one game Counter-Strike's one game I love. I'm so bad at it. I am,
can
like,
only play
I
it.
So bad.
if you don't have a server full of friends, it is the worst game humanly possible. Because, like, you die in, like, 2 seconds most of the damn round. Yeah. At least I do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do, too.
And then, you know, I'm sitting there for, like, 3 minutes just watching other people kick ass.
Right, and then you try to...
I wish I could do that.
Yeah, well, exactly. You try to go in, you're like, no, that dude ducked in that corner. I'm going to go duck in that corner. And the moment you turn to go, like, near the Coke machine in CS office or something, you're like, I'm going to go by the...
Yeah.
Like, and then you have to watch and spectate.
There was one dude in the Penny Arcade, I think it was Kango, who every single round, dude was like, him and Kung Fu or something were like masters of Counter-Strike, and they would just like start with a knife at the beginning of the round and like take out like half the enemy team. Like it was some Predator shit.
Right.
And I would try to do that and I'd get like maybe one dude and they're nervous, everyone else would just shoot me. It was just humiliating.
Oh man, Counter-Strike brings up memories, but probably, I have two. One of them's really quick, and then one of them, I'll save my Deus Ex one for a second. But, and it's not a spoiler in Deus Ex, it's just a moment that happened that...
Oh, just, better not be, asshole.
Hey! But, the first one was actually in a Company of Heroes, and it wasn't really about an in-game moment, but I just got the game, and I just got Company of Heroes, and I just got, the first expansion called Opposing Fronts. And I wanted to start learning how to play online because, you know, if you've ever played a real-time strategy like StarCraft or whatever, you know that there's a huge difference between playing single-player and playing multiplayer. Like, a giant learning curve. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to post in Penny Arcade. I'm going to look around some forums. I'm going to try to get a few people to kind of coach me a little bit. And the first person that said, yeah, I'll play a game with you, was a guy on Penny Arcade named Kinder Party. And... We went in game and he kind of showed me a few things and then he played a quick match and he demolished me, like, bad. But he was like, you know, you're doing really good on this and you're doing really good on that. But I was kind of bummed out and I was like, shit, man. But then part of my pride was broken, so I was like, what does this guy know? Like, no, I did fine. I did fine. So I was like, yeah, whatever, whatever. And apparently, after the match, I was kind of blown away because Kinder Party is number one in the world. And has been for about 9 months straight since the game came out. And he's still number one in the world 2 years after the game came out. Like, he's incredible. He is, like, phenomenal.
God
so damn. It's almost like you got to play, you know, like, I want to play some guitar for an open mic night. And then, like, Eric Clapton comes in. He's like, I'll play with you. And you're like, oh, shit. See, I had no idea who he was, and he just scrimmaged me, and I was like, sure, yeah, that's cool, man, thanks for the game. And then afterwards, then, like, I was retroactively nervous. Like, I was like, oh my god, I embarrassed myself, oh my god, this dude is, like, a champion. But yeah, I mean, he has interviews for, like, GameReplays.org, and, like, he's in magazines and shit, I'm like, oh my god. But, yeah, big shout out to Kinder Party. He's good people, but he's scary good at he's also good at, he's good enough at Dawn of War 2. Like, you know, that's another relic, real-time strategy game.
Yeah.
He's number one in that, and he barely plays it. Like, he just has some innate understanding. It's like, he's a Korean StarCraft player.
Oh, and, God.
Yeah, he's...
Can't even get started on those.
Yeah, exactly. But,
You guys keep talking, I gotta go move some laundry along. Be right back.
All right. Okay, so this'll be a heart-to-heart about Deus Ex, but, This was kind of the moment I knew that Deus Ex would be, like, something a lot different. It was, did you by chance do the training? Like, go
yeah.
to the little training area?
Yeah, I did.
There's that big robot that you fight. Like, or it's a medium-sized robot. I mean,
oh, yeah, I just walked around that guy.
See, I fought him, because I was like, okay, I need to get used to, you know, how the game works. And... You know, for those that don't know, you have a kind of the training thing that teaches you how to duck behind stuff. And here's how you crouch, and here's how you walk, and here's how you shoot. And you have to go through all this stuff. And then they're like, let's have you have a giant fight with a giant fucking robot. So then you, like, turn the corner.
Just to mention, anyone not playing, you can completely avoid the damn robot. He's just insane.
Yeah, I'm just insane. I'm some sort of, like... sadomasochist, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has, like, rocket launchers and stuff like that, too. And I was like, okay, this would be a cool training fight. And it was going well. It was going pretty well. I was, you know, because you can damage different parts of it, like its arm or its leg. So I mean,
oh, really?
Yeah, if you go after its leg, like, it'll disable the legs and it won't be able to move as fast. So, I mean, there's quite a bit of strategy, and that goes for everybody in the game. Like, you can actually target specific parts. And so, I mean, Fallout took a book, you know, took a page out of that book. But what happened was I was right behind a crate, and I popped my head out, and I guess a rocket was coming at me and blew right in front of me. But what happened is my legs stopped working. Like, my legs stopped working.
Oh, awesome.
So I started crawling. Like, my body was, like, the camera was lopsided. You know how you kind of have that kill cam after you die in a first-person shooter, and it's, like, sort of laying on the ground? It was like that, but I could still control my guy. So I was blown away that they even did that. I mean, this game came out in, like, 99, so, I mean, it's literally a decade old, and I was paralyzed. Like, my guy was paralyzed. His legs stopped working because of the explosion. So I was crawling and shooting, and I was like, oh, my God, I have to not fucking die. And, like, I just kept crawling and kept crawling. And then I finally took it out because while it was loading up another rocket, I shot it in its rocket arm, and it blew the thing into, like, three pieces.
Nice. And
so it was like some weird Saving Private Ryan, like, oh, no, your last hope, you're about to die. Your last breath, you final gunshot, like that type of thing. But it was all happening in real time. And I just had to, like, let go of the mouse and, like, step back from the keyboard. And I was like, what just happened?
Nice.
But, yeah, and I mean, there's many parts that stuff like that can happen during the game. But, yeah, I mean, it's an exciting game in that regard because there's a lot of stuff as part of the gameplay that you don't expect to be in there because the game's so old.
Yeah, I really am impressed with how much stuff they have. And I gotta say, if I actually played it back in the day, probably one of my favorite moments would be, you know, I went to the first, like, Liberty Island mission, and I was, like, going to save Gunther or whatever. And I happened to sneak into the room he was in. Apparently that bypasses him wanting to actually have a conversation with you. So the dude just, like, I just see him draw his knife and charge on out. And all the enemies, they refused to shoot at him. They just ran away from him. So there's this guy running all around Liberty Island just shanking people in the back. And even what? The robots would be running from him. Like, he was chasing everyone
holy
down.
Holy shit.
Wait. Sorry, I just got back from moving the laundry line. And I came in on you talking about robots on Liberty Island like Grand Theft Auto. That's what I was envisioning.
No,
a guy running around stabbing people and then robots not doing anything.
in Deus Ex.
That would be an awesome Grand Theft Auto mod, though.
That is an incredible mod.
Transformers mod. Like, you grab a car and just turns into Bumblebee.
Or jazz and it starts breakdancing.
Oh, hey, you know a Transformers name.
Yeah, I know a single one. Yeah, quick side note. I actually watched Transformers for the first time last night. So I'm a good 2 years behind the pop culture curve.
And he has not seen the 1980s one.
I have not seen any of the Transformers cartoons. That's true. Like, I don't know anything about... I knew the term Decepticon. I knew they were the bad guy. That's it. Like,
oh,
that
well, good
was literally, job. That was literally it. It's kind of like, I know the name of a character from a TV show. Like, that's basically how deep my lore went. And, I mean, I still don't know a whole lot, but I just know that Megan Fox is really hot. Like, well, that's what I learned from the movie.
Then you know the important stuff.
Yeah, that's all the lore that I need to know.
That's about it for the movies. I mean, like, you got nothing else.
Yeah, that's true. But it was good. Like, I did like it. I thought I would hate it because it's Michael Bay, and I think he's an idiot. But I just don't.
Well, I mean, it's Transformers, so all you need is really explosions and big robots. And
yeah, it was a fun movie. Yeah,
exactly.
The second one.
It was, and Anthony Anderson makes anything better. Except for Kangaroo Jack, because that thing was a piece of shit.
But, I saw that movie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh. I saw, like, 5 minutes of it, and once I saw the kangaroo, like...
It's in the name. Like, why did you not expect a kangaroo?
No, I mean, but actually seeing it is different. Like, you hear, like, oh, it's a kangaroo, but then it's, like, showing up and seeing the kangaroo inside out with a little clown inside of it or something.
Wait. I didn't see that. I saw the Crocodile Hunter movie. That's what I saw.
Oh.
Sorry. Equally as bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where are we going? Okay. What
special is this again?
Yeah, it's like the pop culture movie special. So have you guys seen that second Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie? But
I hear they go back in time for the third one.
And they dress like samurais.
I love samurais. Instant. I got anime posters of them in my room.
Hooray! Let's see. I'm trying to think of another... Okay. A lot of people out there listening to the PC special they want us to, they don't want us to really get into massively multiplayer games. Because, I mean, every PC special, you hear about MMOs. You hear nothing about, like, you all should play World of Warcraft, because 14 million people are playing World of Warcraft, or, you know, however many. And it's like, and Ozzy Osbourne's on the new commercial with Mr. T. And, you know, it's like some
Sharon!
The Prince of Darkness! But, okay. I think I know what everybody's going to pick, but just name one massively multiplayer game. Okay, I'll make this rule. No one can say the same game.
Ah, you asshole.
That's right. Okay, one massively multiplayer game that is not World of Warcraft, that if people are interested in the genre, could actually start with. Brian, you go first.
Okay, and this is my one true MMO love. I played World of Warcraft as in the stress test. I played Warhammer Online. I don't know. I played some other stuff, you know, some shitty free Korean ones. But my one true MMO love, which I always come back to and recently just came back to again, is City of Heroes / City of Villains.
And why do you recommend it?
It's great. It's fucking fun. Don't let us get into City Heroes. Because for me, it's perfect. Like, it's a lot more action-oriented as far as, like, the fighting goes. Like, when I'm fighting people, I'm jumping around them. I'm, you know, using my ranged attacks, hopping in, punching a guy, jumping away. So it's a lot more, almost like a third-person, you know, shoot 'em up, beat 'em up, or whatever kind of game. So that style is perfect for me. It's a lot of fun. And it's just, you know, if I got 15, 20 minutes to kill, I can just hop on, do a mission, or whatever. Like, you know, I don't need a huge time commitment. I've got fucking super jump travel powers to get where I need to go fast. I don't need to ride a dinosaur for 4 hours to get where I'm going.
And as a note, they're actually adding a giant ass chicken to WoW.
What?
Yeah, you can now mount a gigantic chicken.
God damn it.
Like, but, not the chocobo thing they have for the blood elves, like a serious, like, overgrown steroid chicken.
Awesome.
Great.
I can't remember if it has shoulder pads or not.
Oh, yeah, giant football shoulder pads.
But the City Heroes also, because you can make pretty much any character you want.
That is
true. If you want to make a zombie private detective, you can do that. If you want to make a fucking Neanderthal guy who wears a lab coat, you can do that. You can create whatever you want.
Yeah, that is true. And I'll just say my first character is a guy named Blint, and I literally modeled him after, like, I went in going, okay, I want to make a mix of a Garrett from the Thief series, another awesome PC game franchise, but I want to make a mix between him and Gambit from the X-Men. And I did. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, that impressed me. Like, it reminds me of both of them whenever I look at them because of, like, the clothing structure. It looks like Gambit. And then he has the hood and, you know, the all black and kind of the facial features of Garrett from Thief. So I was like, damn, it is really elaborate. But also on the last time we recorded, Brian, I think the way you put it was the game was wonderfully simple.
Yes.
Like, a joy to play. Yes. Just expand a little bit on that.
Well, like I said, I mean, what can I say? You don't need to worry about gear. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to worry about going out fucking doing like 18 missions to find the best gear. The way the game works, and this is good because when you're playing anyway, you want to be unique. So you've got your costume and you can have multiple costumes for a guy. And so you don't get gear per se. But what you do is as you level up, you unlock powers. And you upgrade your powers. You can change it as much as you want. It's kind of swappable, but you get what are called enhancements. So if I've got a melee attack, I can put in an accuracy enhancement, a damage enhancement. Whatever really, you know, fits my style. And then you upgrade your slots as you go. So, you know, that aspect is pretty simple. It's, you know, like I said, missions don't take forever. They're task force, which are kind of like big, long series of missions, but usually they don't go longer than 3 or 4 hours. I don't know. It just is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's something that's just, you know, perfect about it.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, everything kind of works together so well. that it's addicting because it's not overbearing. Like, it's not really overwhelming when you log in.
Yeah.
You can kind of take things at your own pace, and it's rewarding.
Yeah, but it's neat because at the same time, I mean, they've provided all the information in there for, like, anyone who wants to do number crunching. Like, all right, if I put three enhancements, if I put a fourth one, will I get diminishing returns? And, mm-hmm. you know, we want to maximize our output. So there's a certain amount of complex stuff. You can craft recipes to create better enhancements and stuff like that.
Right.
But you don't have to do all that. You're perfectly fine just going off the regular stuff. You can go to a vendor and say, hey, I want to buy these.
Nice. Very good. And George, how about you? MMO that is not City of Heroes / City of Villains or World of Warcraft that you could recommend to someone just getting into the genre?
Schmitty of Schmiros?
And let's talk a bit about...
Well, it's a lot like City of Heroes, except you kind of add a lisp onto the front of it every single word.
Everyone's drunk.
I don't know. That's the only one that I haven't wanted to tear my hair out about. Like, I wish I could recommend Final Fantasy, but unless you have 80 friends, an entire group around you, and the ability to find a power leveler at any given time, mm-hmm. it's a terrible game.
Right.
But I guess the only MMO that didn't make me want to die... was Shin Megami Tensei Online or Phantasy Star Online Blue Burst.
Nice.
And they're both kind of the same thing as how they're very simple and mm-hmm. shoot things and you get other things, but I'm not sure if Blue Burst still costs money or not, but Shin Megami Tensei is definitely free. It's one of those, you know, Japanese, brought over here kind of like Gunbound kind of things.
Right, the microtransaction kind of.
Actually, I'm not sure if it's a microtransaction, but I just mean the way that it's like a Japanese game, but someone, random person, like translated into English, and now it's kind of like half and half, I think.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean. But yeah, it is completely free to play. And
but yeah, if you enjoy the whole demon conversation thing, or just the whole Persona atmosphere in general, it's got the kind of cyberpunk demon thing,
mm-hmm.
the old Shin Megami Tensei games, but it also combines a lot of the new Persona stuff. So, I mean, it's a nifty game, but I haven't delved into it too much to really recommend it, but it's simple, you shoot stuff, you get demons, and it's free, so yeah. Easy to try.
Yeah, exactly, you try it out if you don't like it.
Yeah. And you, Wes?
But seriously, City of Heroes.
City of Heroes. I think my recommendation will probably be Lord of the Rings Online.
Wow, I expected you to say Guild Wars.
Well, I was... Then you're not saying Guild Wars, but then it's technically not massively multiplayer. I know it's like splitting hairs, but I mean, it's more instance-based. I mean, there's a ton of people, and you can switch lobbies, and, you know, you can go out and battle stuff, and it's a lot of fun, but I don't know if I'd call it massively multiplayer. I mean, it's more akin to something like a big game of Diablo 2 on Battle.net.
I think that still counts, though. Like, I know Champions Online, I think, is,
yeah.
I think some news thinks that they might do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, and I mean...
I'm not sure how that sounds for an MMO like that. Like, I can't imagine City of Heroes being split up like that.
Yeah, I don't think it'd work too well. It'd be more to the detriment of what they're trying to achieve with the game. But I would say Lord of the Rings Online, simply because it's the one MMO, like, even with World of Warcraft, even after playing Final Fantasy, that I actually cared about the story. And I don't know if that's because I already had a love of the Tolkien lore before I went in.
The Tolkienverse.
The Tolkien, the multiverse. As I play and have a towel over my head like it's some sort of like a cape with and holding my book way up high. like it's some sort of axe. But
this is why I've never read it. I've never come like you.
Right. Oh, but that's the only way to be. But But it's the only game that really, one, it's really true to the source material, and that's something I can definitely get behind, because I'll just put it this way, in my editions of Lord of the Rings that I have, that even I've had since childhood, in the front of each book, there's a map, and it goes through quite a bit of Middle-earth, maybe not all of it, but, you know, whatever it takes place in during that book, that particular book. I can, if I ever need to, I don't know why I would need to, because there's a map in the game, but I could use those maps in the books. And
that's kind of nifty.
They would work. I mean, that's how true it is to the source material. And also it has that big appeal of like, oh, I'm going to go to the Mines of Moria. And, you know, you can go to places that are really famous in the movies and books like The Silmarillion or something like that. So, I mean, if you're a big fan of the lore, that's 90% of the battle. But even if you're not a big fan of the lore, since it is based on such a rich universe, there's something for you to explore. There's always something to discover.
A story that's already, you know, been established. And
right. And they do a great job of making you feel like you're a part of it. Because so many times people, you know, if someone plays a Star Wars game, they want to play as Luke Skywalker. They want to play as Darth Vader. You know, you always want to play as the people. Like, I want to play a Lord of the Rings game, so I want to be Frodo.
Yeah,
and it's like, no, there was more people to what incidents happened than just the Fellowship. And this does a great job of actually showing that. And, I mean, it actually takes some stuff straight out of the book and lets you play it. I know there's many instances where, like, you go and you save certain villages that are burning after the Scourge comes and, like, destroy some of it. And, I mean, I don't want to get too geeky into the lore because then people just, like, hit stop on their multimedia device.
But yeah, I'm just going to go get a snack.
It's like, you're going to start popping more pills in a minute. You're going to be like, hell no.
Pills.
I'm not listening to this bullshit. But yeah, I mean, there is definitely a lot to love to it. And the classes are unique enough that you can, no matter what kind of playstyle you're into, you're always rewarded. I mean, you could even be a bard who's, you know, basically someone just plays music and you support the class out. And it's great because you actually play music by hitting the number keys on your
keyboard. Oh, that's cute.
And then, like, you can push the shift button and it will change the octave. So, like, the first thing I did whenever I went in, because I play guitar, so I was, like, getting notation from songs I already knew. So I'd go up to people, and then they'd, like, stare at me, and I'd look at them, and I'd pull out my flute, and I'd start playing Crazy Train. And I'd be, and they'd, like, start dancing. Just, but, yeah, I mean, you can do stuff like that, and it gives people buffs, and, I mean, it really does reward that all
the time. Now imagine, like the awesome Peter Jackson films with, like, Ozzy Osbourne soundtrack.
With death metal, like, Anthrax.
I'd like to recommend one more. The only other MMO, and don't judge me, okay? Look, I love me some video game golf. The only other MMO I've put a kind of good amount of time in is Albatross 18, aka I think like the Japanese or Korean name is like Pangya 18.
What the hell?
I shit you not.
No, I've heard of this. It looks sort of like High Shots, doesn't it?
Yeah, basically. I mean, I love me some video game golf, and the main reason was because it was free, and it was a way that I could play video game golf with one of my friends over the internet, one of the guys I went to college with, and we always used to play. I mean, we tore the shit out of Mario Golf. We were playing that so much. And so this is the way, after we finished college, that, you know, we could continue the time-tested tradition of playing video game golf against each other. Yeah.
See, I need to try it, because I do love me some Hot Shots and stuff like that. Like, I'm kind of shying away from The Sims a little bit, like Tiger Woods and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But more of the arcadey pick-up-and-play stuff I'm definitely down with. But all right, and I think last question before we go to our third segment. If there is one PC game from kind of this current generation...
Generation?
I say it because with PC gaming, there's not like a set generation. I mean, with with consoles, it's like, oh, this game's for Super Nintendo.
That's true.
So,
console gaming only evolves once every, like, 4 years. PC gaming is constantly evolving.
That is true. It is constantly, like, changing. I mean, there's always something new coming out. So, somewhat recent is in, like, maybe the past, 5 years? I mean, and that seems kind of a long time, but you have to think, okay, 5 years is kind of a console cycle. You know, that's whenever a console is released and on the store shelves until the next version of it is announced. Maybe it might not be on the shelves yet, but that's kind of the current treatment cycle.
Right.
But, okay, out of the past, you know, few years, past about 5 years or so, George, how about you go first on this one? One game that you would recommend, and let's just say theoretically, they didn't have to worry about getting a supercomputer or whatever.
Can we say like three games?
Yeah, I mean, you can do kind of a handful of games.
And okay, all right.
We'll kind of also touch on this in the third segment, but I think the third segment will kind of touch on the myth.
Overall.
Yeah, the myth about I need to pay $40 million to play a PC game.
Yeah.
But yes, Yeah, Exit or George Arthur, go ahead and, like, just a handful of games that you can think of that people should definitely check out.
Well, I'm contractually obliged to say Left 4 Dead, of course.
Right. I would expect no less from the NARPIG.
Yeah, because, you know, it's just, it's the, as far as first-person shooters go and also co-op games, it's one of the absolute best in both categories that I've ever played.
Yeah.
And aside from that, if you're into RPGs, but also kind of like a first-person element, it's very minor in the game compared to the story, but Vampire Bloodlines?
Yes.
I think it's on Steam, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. $20.
But yeah, if you can patch it up with fan patches, because it's a Troika game, so it needs patches.
that is very true.
Otherwise, the game is absolutely flawless, and it's one of those things like, usually in the game, the one thing I like about Troika games, and it is with Arcanum too, but in the beginning they say like, oh, do you want to play a human or an elf and an orc? And usually it's just like an aesthetic thing. Like, oh, I want to be this huge dude, but you know, it doesn't change my dialogue at all. Depending on like the clan you pick in the beginning, like first off, of course, you get different powers. But the dialogue throughout the entire game, I think there's at least three entirely different branches for like different clans you pick. Like if you pick a Nosferatu, everyone's going to hate you. If you pick a Malkavian, you'll be psychotic to the point where sometimes you actually, like, spoil the game for yourself. Like, you, someone who stabs your back later, as a Malkavian, you just walk up to them and go, like, hey, betrayer. And they're just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, you can kind of read.
Let's just keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they have that personality trait where they can kind of see people for what they really are from the very beginning.
And I think they actually fixed it now, but in the beginning, you were supposed to hear, like, kind of psychotic whispers. Like, I know if you go up to a person that's going to attack you later, you should hear whispers in your head going like, he's an asshole or something. Which was broken in the original game, but I think fan patches fixed it. But yeah, once you actually patch the thing up, it is like one of the most rich games I've ever played, and it's an excellent use of the World of Darkness. And I would definitely recommend it to anyone who enjoys RPGs.
Absolutely, and I think one of my favorite things is just, is like you said, with the alignments. Also, you know, whenever you first create your character, you have stuff like charisma and your intellect and things like that. Normally in other games, it kind of means, okay, I can use this spell or I can't. Like, yeah, it kind of has a kind of yes or no quantity to it. But in this, let's say you have a low intellect. You just want to make a brawler. You want to make someone who can do hand-to-hand combat, but he's dumb as a rock. You can actually get into arguments with inanimate objects. Like, you can go up to a stop sign and be like, don't tell me what to do. And then the stop sign won't say anything, and you're like, why aren't you talking to me? And you can have a full, like, conversation tree with nothing.
That's what I loved about playing Malkavian, the times that, I think the stop sign actually, like, stops you when you pass it as Malkavian.
Yeah.
There's another time when you're, you can watch the news, and they'll talk about either this town around you, but then, of course, the TV will start talking to you, and basically, like, if you play that game and you enjoy it as any other class, play through a second time as a Malkavian. It is completely different.
It's really rewarding in a goofy sense, like in a you know, they really put a lot of care into this game type of way.
Oh yeah, and it's also fun, the insane dialogue options. Like, if you don't want to have a battle, you can convince someone he's a fish, and then he'll run away thinking that people are trying to fish for him.
No, can you think of anything else? Those are both awesome, like, incredible games.
I'm not sure. I mean, I know something will occur to me in like 5 minutes, but now those are the big two.
We'll hop over to Brian, and like, if you think of anything after Brian's done, just butt right in before I start blabbering on. But Brian, go ahead and a handful of them.
Okay, let's see. The first one I'm going to recommend is Titan Quest.
Good man.
Because if you love Diablo, you'll love this.
No, that's true. That's very true.
Yeah, it's such a great game. You know, hack and slash RPG. Build your character, you know, get your powers stuff, and then, you know, after you beat the game, start it over, new game plus and a harder difficulty. I sunk a lot of hours into that with some people, and I'm pretty sure it's PC only. I think it came out in 2006. Yeah. If you have a computer, you'll be able to run it. It's pretty scaled.
If you're listening to the show, you can run it.
I hope so.
And it's true because, but, you know, you kind of just said, if you like Diablo, you will like Titan Quest. And I remember whenever everyone started recommending me Titan Quest, because I was a huge Diablo 2 freak, and I know, George, you were the same way. Like, crazy addicted to Diablo 2, and they're like, oh, play Titan Quest, it's just as good. And I'm like, there's no way it's just as good as Diablo 2, or else everyone will be addicted to it. Like, it would have to have its own, like, rehab clinic.
And, yeah, exactly.
And But I started playing it, and then I started playing more of it. And then I was like, yeah, I got, you know, 10 minutes to kill. I might, you know, just, you know, get on my Titan Quest guy. No, it's fine. I can stop whenever I want. It does have that same quality, kind of the same. Well, I wonder, there's a cave right here, and like, they told me not to go in the cave, but I think I can go in this cave. And then you go in the cave, and you die immediately, and you're like, actually, that was a bad idea. But then a few levels later, you come back, and you're like, yeah, this fucking cave pissed me off. You go in and rock that place as shit. And then you go in and like, get the coolest set of loot you've ever gotten. And it does have that same very, like, just one more potato chip kind of, you know, mind fuck that happens.
And then, let's see, the next one I'm going to say is Crysis, because that was a really fucking fun game.
Yes, it is.
And I know a lot of people are like, it's just a, you know, it's a graphics engine with a tech demo. It's just a tech demo. But no, it was so much fun. They got a lot of cool battles in it. If you played Far Cry, or if you love kind of open-ended sandbox games, I mean, it's just the same. You're given an island, and you can pretty much take any route you want to take to get where you need to go to. And the whole nanosuit thing was awesome. You could, you know, root its power into different things, speed, and so you could run up to a guy, then switch to strength, and you could punch him off a cliff or throw him. Invisibility, sneak up on a guy, whatever. So yeah, really, really fun game. I had a good time with it.
Oh yeah, on the Crysis thing, like someone, or it was actually Doug, one of my good friends. He was asking, you know, he's curious on Crysis. He just got a new computer, and he's like, but I don't know if I'm even interested in it, because that's all he heard was the whole tech demo thing. And the only way I could really explain it was if you mixed Half-Life with Crackdown.
Yeah,
and he was like, how would that even play? And I'm like, it plays like Crysis. Like, that was really the only thing I could think of, because it does kind of have the, you know, of course a first-person view like Half-Life, but I mean, it even the guns feel sort of like Half-Life. Like, it has kind of that nice recoil, and the guns feel really meaty. But
then, they do.
But then your superpowers, and that's kind of what they are. I mean, you know, they're advances or enhanced speed, and they call them that, but it's a superpower, man. I mean, you're jumping like 2 football fields. You know, I mean, it's pretty cool. You can jump off a cliff if you want to and, like, go base jumping. And there's something great about it, especially whenever, you know, if you get pissed off, you can, you know, punch a Jeep, and the Jeep will hit someone and, like, break through a warehouse.
And then the last one I'm going to say is World of Goo.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I know a lot of people probably know it's a good game, but I feel like a lot of people haven't played it. So if you haven't, don't hesitate. Just hop on Steam, pick it up.
Absolutely. And, I was going to say kind of explain a little bit of it, but I think we've covered it enough on other shows. Because, I mean, that's kind of a Metrobeard favorite, is World of Goo. I mean, it's just a great, great little game.
Yeah.
And on that same kind of regard, and also this kind of goes into Plants vs. Zombies, which I kind of want to play. I mean...
Oh, you should.
Like I said, I didn't start playing it before the podcast because, I mean, we had a podcast. But but on that same PopCap line of thinking, I have to recommend Peggle, because Peggle is the most addictive thing on the planet. On the planet. Like, I haven't done heroin, but I can pretty much, like, you know what I mean? I can put it kind of side by side. Like, I'm just gonna put that out there. For those that don't know what Peggle is, it's not even a puzzle game. Like, it sort of is a puzzle game, but it's old. What's the name of the game from, like, Price is Right, where you drop the thing? Is it Plinko?
It's like pinball mixed with Plinko mixed with Pachinko. I mean, I don't even know.
Yeah, it is, and there's a weird... you wouldn't think it's addictive. And I remember one of my my ex-girlfriend, she... Whenever she was over one time, like, I was playing it, and she was like, what the fuck is this? Like, you see it, and it's a bunch of bright, happy colors, and, I mean, this is kind of a PopCap tradition to kind of have so overly goofy that it almost gives you diabetes. Like, everything is so sweet and so adorable, and, like, giant, happy smiles, and so, you know, I have a unicorn on screen, and he's like, yeah, my name's Bjorn the Unicorn, and, like, giving me a thumbs up or a hooves up or whatever every time I take a good shot. She's like, what the hell are you playing? I was like, no, babe, this is Peggle. Like, you just have to play Peggle. And she's like, this looks like the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I actually gifted her Peggle on Steam, and I was like, once you play it, you will not stop playing it. And she was like, no, this isn't my kind of game, like, whatever. I mean, she played Zuma and stuff. She's like, yeah. No, I'm not, you know, this looks dumb. Not but 3 or 4 days later, I logged back into Steam and kind of, you know how it has your friends list and kind of what they've been playing and their Steam rating? She had logged in something like 35 hours on Pebble. And she, she messaged me back and was like, I hate you so goddamn much. And I was like, meh.
I think you could call it, it's the snood of the new generation.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it, actually. It does have that kind of, it's always positive reinforcement. Like, you never really get negative reinforcement in a game. Like, it's never like, oh, you lost. You suck. Like, it's never kind of that berating sort of, like, in other games, you know, like in Demon Soul? Game probably, like, punches you in the face even if you get something right. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
It's like, if you die, you fucked.
Yeah, and if you live, you fucked. But, it's like, welcome to hell. But with Peggle, man, it's always hot, you know, bright, happy colors, and then Ode to Joy plays whenever you make a good shot, like, whenever you get your final Peggle shot.
Well, you guys probably heard the nitrobeating Peggle incident.
Really? What?
Oh, no, that was hilarious when it happened, because we had no idea that was happening. It was, we kind of experimented with the idea of having a quote-unquote live studio audience, and it was Doug, who I previously mentioned from, like, old No Quarter Radio and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was on, and he was just kind of listening in, because, I mean, he really didn't have a lot to talk about, but he did want to hear it before it went online. So he got on, and I was like, yeah, man, you can just set your stuff up and kind of listen in. And I don't know what happened, but, like, his sound drivers mixed in with his mic drivers, and his mic was on mute. But I guess he started playing Peggle, and we could hear it. We could hear everything. We could hear shots.
It's so great.
It was hysterical.
We were, like, cheering him on.
He couldn't hear us, but he couldn't hear it. Like, he muted everything on his mic just so he could play some Peggle.
But I'm pretty sure he got, like, the fever, so started playing the da-da-da-da-da.
Triumphant music, and we were like, yeah, I got it!
Oh, God.
It was brilliant. But, yeah, there's that
I love the PopCap games just because, like, I used to have this Sunday, like, role-playing group, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the guy who ran it, we'd be at his house, and his wife had, like, I don't even know how many PopCap games in her computer. I think, like, if she had a computer that was, like, 300 gigs, I think, like, 280 would have somehow been PopCap games. Like, she opened the folder, and it took, like, 5 minutes to load every single thing.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, we'd be playing, and then, like, after we'd quit at, like, say, 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And then we'd look at her to see what the PopCap game she was playing, and we'd be there till like 4 o'clock after, just watching and be like, oh no, get that crystal! Or like, hop up on this thing, and they're like, all be like this weird little physics game. Like, I remember one was like, Venice, and it was like falling into the water, so the only way to save it was like, to get crystals that were bouncing off this thing that was kind of like a mix of Breakout and Dig Dug and all these other games, and I was like, and we would all just be like fascinated by this addictive little thing and stand around her and going like, oh shit, nice shot, and get this little thing, and oh yay, oh to joy.
people will give us some hate mail, like hell for it, but man, people that say, oh, but PopCap stuff's really casual and stuff, that's as hardcore into a game as I've been in a while is how I've been into Peggle. Like, for real, because you can actually strategize in Peggle and you can use your special abilities. But for anyone that says, no, with a PC game, you have to immediately jump to something like Crysis. Like, that's a... What just exploded?
I just knocked something over. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
I'm alive.
Your computer just fell over. That's fine.
Yeah. It's still recording. You're good.
Okay, good. Thank God, because, well, if it happened again, I would, like, smash my face on a keyboard. But yeah, like, PopCap games are where it's at, man. If you're just getting into PC gaming, and I mean, like with Titan Quest, if you have a PC that can run this episode of Nitrobeard, you can play a PopCap game, and you'll be rewarded.
They're just crack. That's it. It's just pure computer crack.
On kind of the more, I guess, I hate the word hardcore game, but I mean, the more dedicated play experience.
On a serious note?
Yeah, exactly. Like, going over on the, non-PopCap games, I have to recommend Dawn of War 2. It's real-time strategy game by Relic. I mean, I prefer Company of Heroes, but the reason why I recommend Dawn of War 2 is because it gets kind of the accessibility of something like a Diablo, where you know, you kind of get war gear and you get loot, and you kind of get that instant gratification for making the right decision. And it also has a really great campaign, but Dawn of War 2 has that in spades. So, I mean, you have a great campaign, you have amazingly beautiful graphics, it has a really great art style, even though it is goofy space marines going against orcs that talk like soccer hooligans and...
For the war, boss!
Technically a good impression, but... now you have to talk like that for the rest of the episode. But, with Dawn of War, it's great because there is different levels of play. I mean, you can go in and you can just take your time, get some achievements, because it's with Games for Windows Live, so you can actually gain your achievements, get up your gamer score, chat with your buddies, stuff like that, while you're playing through a campaign, and kind of get this cool sci-fi story with some good real-time strategy, you know, in between. But there's also a very dedicated layer to it. So if you're really into the game, you can go and you can competitively play on the ladders online, get your ranks up, you know, you can play as any of the three factions, the Tyranid, the Orc, or the Space Marines, and, I mean, you can get really good at it. You can, I mean, it's just as addictive as something like a StarCraft is, where you can really go in and start playing competitive. I think that's a great little gateway drug to the competitive side of PC gaming, because it's so easy to pick up and play. And then, I'm trying to think, I mean, this has come out on consoles, but a game that I have to recommend, just because it is one of those games that we're going to look back 10 years from now and call this one of the classics of this generation, is BioShock.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, BioShock's almost a given. It's almost like recommending Half-Life 2.
Anyone listening to this has played BioShock.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, if there's someone out there that has not played BioShock...
Well, they're a genetic defect.
Yeah, exactly. they should be exterminated. I mean, I kind of agree with that. But it's so good, and it just pisses me off that they're making a sequel.
Aside from the little sister thing that looks kind of shitty, which, I mean, we might just be saying that because we're so used to the big daddies. I mean, sorry, the big sister, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have faith that they can make it a good game, but I'm not sure if it'll be up to what BioShock was. Like, at first I heard they were making it a prequel.
Yep.
And... because I thought, like, the one thing I was disappointed in was that, you know, you see Rapture coming in, and it's like this huge-ass place.
Yeah.
And then you only see, like, three areas of it that look, you know, very similar. Yeah, so I was eager to have that whole thing where you actually explore Rapture. Or I remember when it was first coming out, they kind of, like, played up, like, how you can be good and evil. And they kind of made it seem like you could side with certain splicers against other splicers,
mm-hmm.
not so much like for or against little sisters, which is basically like the only choice you had to make in the entire game.
Right.
But I was looking forward to them actually like handling the splicers, because actually playing the game, they were like seriously tragic figures. Like if you listen to the stuff they say after they kill you, yeah. it is depressing.
Oh yeah. That's one of those games that it's a perfect example of how, you know, a lot of people are wondering, okay, well, video games as, like, a storytelling medium can't work because either you use movies, like cutscenes, to tell your story, or you use text on the screen. So you're essentially reading, which is, you know, its own form of narrative or whatever. But I think BioShock is a perfect example of exactly how games can come into their own using the interactive quality. Because, I mean, some of the best moments, I mean, I'm not going to give away, you know, huge plot points or anything, but, you know, whenever you do extract Adam from a little sister, or, you know, if you save her or whatever, they're gone, but the Big Daddy, if you don't kill the Big Daddy, they can actually go around looking for the little sister. And they'll go up to the walls, you know, where the kind of gutted out clocks are, I guess they would be. And the little sister, and then they dangle on them or, like, crawl out of them or whatever. The Big Daddy will go up and, like, look into the empty hole and then, like, pound his hand against the wall and look in and, like, make this, like, ooh, like a crying noise, kind of. And he'll just stand there for a minute and wonder, hey, why isn't she coming out? And then he'll just stand there and then hit again and then sob again, and then he'll get his gun and, like, slowly walk away, depressed. And then you feel horrible. You're like, fuck. Like, that was the only, like, I killed, or I, you know,
His only friend, man.
He's the one reason, like, the
Who's
one
gonna
thing...
Who's going to play Piggle with now?
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was trying to protect this little girl, and look what happened. Like, what did I do? And that's not even a major point in the game. I mean, that's not something that, you know, they advertised or anything. But that's... It's filled with stuff like that. It's a perfect example of, like, you walking around and kind of enveloping yourself in the story. It's just remarkable. And, yeah, I urge everyone that hasn't played it to play it. And if you have played it, play it again. Because it's damn good. But, all right, that's a good second segment. Any other games before we kind of go into the third segment that anyone can really think of?
I don't think so.
Well, this one came out on, I think, other systems, but I'd like to... I played it on PC. I'd like to recommend Call of Juarez.
Oh, yeah.
I think it kind of got panned for some reason, but I played it and I loved it. I mean, if you played the old LucasArts first-person shooter Outlaws, which if you haven't, you should, I mean, it's probably the best first-person Western shooter, at least in a really long time.
Right.
Yeah, so,
nice.
So play that.
Is that the one where, I don't know if it's like just a different character or whatever, but he's a preacher, and he
yeah,
has the... Okay.
Yeah, yes. you play as kind of two different characters in an intertwining storyline.
Okay, cool. Because, yeah, I remember... that's really the only thing I remember about it. I mean, I remember maybe a demo on Xbox Live whenever it was first coming out. But, yeah, you could be a preacher, and you had, like, your Bible open. And I don't know exactly what it did, but I don't know if you compelled...
It was pretty crazy.
If, you know, you made Christ compel them or whatever you had to do, like, with the Bible. But I do remember that, and I thought it was pretty cool. Like, it was interesting that they kind of went that route.
Yeah. So that's it.
Cool. We're in the third segment, we're going to kind of get over the myth of PC gaming. A lot of people want to get into PC gaming, but they always hear horror stories.
Dead.
Yeah, they think it's dead. And then two, like, driver issues, and how is Windows Vista? And, you know, there's a lot of bad hype around PC gaming that a lot of console gamers especially just knock off and say, oh, PC gaming's not even relevant because there's too many hoops you have to, you know, go through. And we're here to say that that's some big fat lies.
Yeah.
Some big fat lies. But, yeah, we'll be right back after this break. Go grab a drinky, and we'll be right back. Hey everybody, welcome back from break. The final segment in our delicious PC gaming special. I'm happy with how the show's going so far. I'm thinking it's going really well.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
I'm trying not to overhype myself too much. The screenshots look okay, but I'm afraid they're being doctored.
Cautiously optimistic.
Enthusiasm plus.
Well, okay, in this third segment, I know we're all kind of, we're pretty adamant PC gamers, I mean, but we also play console games, and some bad trends that we see, especially on, like, really enthusiast forums like NeoGAF and Penny Arcade, I mean, a lot of people are just kind of off base on what they think PC gaming entails, like, what kind of machine you have to run stuff, and... You know, well, I heard my friend's computer blew up, so I had to go out and spend $1,600 on such and such, and I got Windows Vista, and it deleted my mom, and then...
Well, that one is kind of true.
Yeah,
Windows Vista will, in fact, delete your mom.
That is accurate. How dare you?
Well, some people, you know, they got issues.
That is true. But we cannot judge. We cannot judge. But I will say that Vista does cause some problems, because that's what happened to our first episode of Nitro Beard, is a nice Windows Vista-related problem. But anyways, we want to kind of, you know, wipe the slate clean, kind of get some facts straight about PC gaming. That way, people that kind of want to get in on PC gaming have the ability to, because it's definitely a rewarding medium. And I think, to be completely honest, I've had more rewarding video game experiences with my PC than I have on any console I've ever owned. Like, you know, I just had better experiences. I don't know if it's just that I'm more accustomed to using mouse and keyboard because I use it so much on forums or whatever, or if it's just that since you're closer to the screen, you're like more drawn in or whatever it is, but something draws me into PC gaming more so than any other form.
For me, I'm just going to say real quick, it's the fact that there's easy access to tons of mods for tons of games. Thereby expanding the economy. User-created content just, you know, up the ass, as much as you can handle. Mm-hmm. Freeware games, holy shit. I mean, we could do an entire podcast about freeware games and how great they are. And, you know, a lot more independent developers release games on PC. Mm-hmm. And Steam.
Oh, Steam, yes. Before we get into the myths and urban legends, let's talk about Steam, because Steam is
And real quick, and much, much more clever DLC support for games, a.k.a. usually free.
That is very true. Usually free, but it's also usually done through, like, patches. And that's, you know, not even for something like World of Warcraft or City of Heroes. I mean, there's patches for games like Dawn of War 2 or... I mean, there could be just instant patches, and the fact that there's no kind of middleman, well, there's usually not a middleman in making content and then giving it to the community, you know? Because, I mean, with, like, on the 360 and stuff, it has to go through Microsoft, and they have to, we want to charge money for this, and, you know, there's some weird battles going on there. But with a PC, it's all the developers, man. I mean, unless you're using something like Games for Windows or Steam isn't really bad about it from what I've heard on the developer side. But I do imagine that there's some sort of protocol they have to go through before they can put some on there.
Didn't they just release a patch for? This was a patch for Diablo 2, right?
Yes. Yes, they did.
And that game is how old?
Yeah, exactly. It is literally like 2000, I think. Yeah. It's 9 years old. So yeah, about a decade old game. And not only that, another one is coming. Another Diablo patch is coming. They're actually taking some user feedback from fans, and I know the reason why they're doing it. Is because of Diablo 3. Yeah, but still, yeah. I mean...
Want it.
Yeah, yes. Yes, indeedy. Speaking of, did you guys apply for the StarCraft 2 bid?
Wait, what?
Yeah, I'll talk with me after the show.
Okay.
Yeah, you can get in the StarCraft 2 beta, but it also opts you in for the Diablo 3 beta.
Oh.
Oh, see, that would interest me. Yes, sir. Because StarCraft, like, I mean, RTS is not really my thing. But yeah, Diablo 3, you have to look into that.
StarCraft 2 is really fucking, like, I was surprised I got a chance to play it. This is why I'm surprised it's taking so damn long, because I played it at Gen Con, like, a year and a half ago.
You didn't tell me this. How did you like StarCraft?
It was fucking awesome. I mean, like, really? They didn't have Zerg playable. It was just Protoss and, you know, Terran, but they felt pretty fleshed out and solid, and everything was fun as hell.
Right.
And the art style was awesome, and it just ran beautifully, and that's why, you know, one of the guys there said, like, oh, yeah, it's coming out March of, you know, 2000 whatever. I can't remember when it was exactly, but, yeah, you know, that rolled around, and that was gone, and then they mentioned the whole thing where it's, you know, to be announced, and there's also three games, and it was like, it felt like a full game over a year and a half ago, and I'm really shocked that it's taking this long.
Yeah, taking a year or some time. But, I mean, Blizzard always has that kind of polish time, whether it takes a year or three. They'll always make it to where it's always playable.
Basically, going around looking at all the kiosks, what everyone was doing was making that gigantic-ass Protoss building that's like a planet cracker kind of thing with a giant-ass laser and just, like, going around and carving the Earth with it.
Right. Kind of like their own WMD and just kind of completely making it their own.
People were just making that and the Terran Transformer guy. That's, like, all there was.
Nice. As well there should be, honestly.
Oh, yeah. But those are the two big new units.
There's great support systems, and, I mean, kind of related to Steam and StarCraft, kind of mixing those two, the new Battle.net. Blizzard kind of has its own digital distribution to where if you have old copies of, like, Warcraft 3 or StarCraft, you can put your CD keys in on a Battle.net account, and then you can just download the games anytime you want. Like, you don't need to try to search for your CDs, because I know I've always had bad luck keeping my Diablo 2 CDs. Like, I'd always lose one. And it'd be an important one. But now that's kind of cured. But yeah, there's just really cool things like mods and kind of database software and stuff like that in the digital distribution. But as far as some of the myths for PC gaming, the one I always hear is that anytime a new game is announced, people want to run it on completely the highest settings. And then they're like, well, it's not even worth it if you can't do it. Like, there's almost that mentality that it has to be the best, and you have to have, like, a $300 quad-core processor with a $600 video card with another $600 video. Like, I don't know if it's just e-penis mentality or, like, what's up, but but I could be completely honest. My rig right now, all told, with everything, and this is, like, if I were to go out and buy it today, everything in my system would cost less than about $450. Like, that's after tax. So, with that being said, I can run Grand Theft Auto 4 at about 35 frames a second, looking just as good, if not a little bit better, than my 360 version.
Yeah.
And that's on, you know, $450. I mean, and Grand Theft Auto 4 is the most arduous, like, demanding game for your computer right now. On the market, like, it's more hardware intensive than, like, Crysis.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a system hog, but a $450 machine can run it better than the console versions, you know? So, I don't know.
That actually reminds me about going back to the whole recommendation thing.
Yeah.
That people should definitely, I forgot it because I mentioned it in the first podcast and everything else about that, whatever. But Devil May Cry 4, definitely, definitely pick it up because it is the version of it. It runs.
Yes, it is.
So goddamn beautifully.
Yes, it does.
It runs better than Steam games. And, you know, usually people go like, oh, Steam games are all on any computer. Apparently Devil May Cry 4 will too. I don't know what Capcom did.
It is.
But I can run that thing with anti-aliasing I can't even see, and the frame rate is still gorgeous. And my computer is not a god. It's, you know, it's decent, but, you know, like you said, it's not that much. It can run everything decently, and Devil May Cry 4, it runs better than the PS3, better than 360, and it's just the version to get if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And the great thing about the PC version is it has, like, a built-in benchmark tool, so you can, like, be like, I want to see how pretty this game does look. And it's like a 10-minute thing that's running in real time, and you just hit it. And it's, like, different boss battles, and, like, there's a few just random battles that you see in, like, a forest, and then there's one in a city. And, I mean, I had everything full max, like, all the shadows. I was like, I want to see how this can cripple my system, because it's a gorgeous game. So you think this is going to be a bear, everything full max, nothing dropped below 65 frames.
That's right. I put everything on like medium-ish because I was like, I played this game on the PS3. It's going to kick the head off my system. And then it was like, it said it was running at like 120 frames per second. I was like, holy shit.
And it looks stunning. Like,
and that's, I like the benchmark because like, I used to do that for Counter-Strike. You'd be like, oh, let's see, use the benchmarking. Then it, like, it'd put you in front of a mirror or something and say like, oh, you can run 60 frames a second. And you'd get in the game and like, things would actually be moving and like, you'd have shit frame rate.
Yep.
Going to Devil May Cry 4, and it's like, fucking, like, let's get 80 dogs in there, let's get 10 marionettes, let's give the guy 10 swords.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, oh, the only thing in the benchmark that will even push your computer like that is the mode where it's specifically designed to have that many enemies on screen. Like, the benchmark pushes the game harder than any game mode would. So you know that it's gonna be accurate.
Absolutely.
And if that's not enough, just the, you know, how cheap you can get a PC to run stuff, I don't know, most of you, about Musi, but I have a hard time justifying those 10 extra dollars that make most current console games $60. Let me give you a quick rundown of some of the prices I'm looking at on Steam right now. So in addition, if you're buying a game in store, it would normally be the normal $50 that, you know, that's been, God knows how long that's been around. Right. But right now on Steam, you can get Saints Row 2 for $30. You can get Bioshock, $20. Mirror's Edge, $20. I mean...
And the great thing about Steam is they have weekend sales. And a few weeks ago, the Orange Box, all five games, like Half-Life 2, Episode 1, Episode 2, Portal, and Team Fortress 2, like each one of those games by themselves are $20. The whole shebang was $10. Like, fucking exhilarating.
Another thing I like about this is now in like the PlayStation stores are bringing it back, and I'm thankful it's becoming a standard thing. But for a while, I hated the fact that there were like no more demos.
Yeah.
Like it seemed like the PlayStation age. Like in the beginning, they'd send out those demo discs, but then it kind of died out, and then you had no idea what the hell a game would be like. I can't remember what games I purchased, but I know I'd, you know, spend $50 in a game, bring it home, and it's just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe. Like, I was gonna buy Siren until, you know, if I didn't have the internet, I would have bought Siren and I would have hated myself for it.
Yeah.
But apparently, Blood Curse is decent, and I haven't tried the demo on PlayStation 3, but I know it's there. So, you know, I can actually check now, which is an amazing thing, and again, Steam has a fuck ton of demos, and I just appreciate the hell out of that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so, I mean, the prices alone warrant the price of, you know, the entry of PC gaming. If you don't, you know, if you're not in PC gaming right now, you're missing a lot. That's all I can tell you.
You are missing a lot, and let's wrap things up. Let's kind of give people advice. If they want to get into PC gaming, what are the main things they kind of want to look for on to getting their foot in the door and looking in the right direction as to, okay, I want to get into this kind of culture, but I don't really know where to start. I mean, you know, a lot of people think they can just walk into Walmart, get a computer on right off the shelf for $300, and be able to play games. And sort of that's true, because you have to think the backlog of PC games.
No. Well, do not trust anyone at Walmart. Onboard video cards.
Yeah.
Well, no. That's what I was getting at. But like, the backlog of PC gaming, for one, you can play games from 20 years ago very easily. I mean, you can get games, like, hell, I just started replaying Blade Runner, the adventure game. And I got that, God knows when. You know, 97, I think. So, it's definitely, you definitely have a huge amount of games to choose from that will run right on a Walmart system out of the box. I mean, for real. But the whole thing where I think people get kind of caught up is, okay, what video card do I buy?
Yeah.
And then, go ahead.
Okay, well, I was just going to say, you really have two options. If you're a bit of a, you know, a tech head, you can build your own system. Mm-hmm. If you want to go that route, which is, you know, it's fun, you know, you put your blood into it, into actually building a thing, you can, you know, you can choose your case or whatever. You have a lot of options. I highly recommend going to techreport.com, and they have some really excellent monthly, kind of system building guides, and they have a lot of options. They have what they call the Econo Box, which is a $500 PC that is basically as good as mine is right now. And, you know, and I'm running, you know, just like Wes, you know, Grand Theft Auto at, you know, 30, 40 frames a second, just kicking butt. Mm-hmm. you know, but if you want to spend a little bit more, you know, if you want to use your PC for more stuff, like I use mine for video editing, you know, graphics, a whole bunch of stuff, then you can spend more. So you can do that, or you can buy a PC from, you know, Dell, Gateway, whatever. Don't buy from, you really don't have to buy from, like, gaming-specific companies like Alienware.
Right. I actually wouldn't
super recommend it. Priced, and, yep. You know, you, for what essentially is the same thing you could be getting for a lot less.
I gotta admit, I'm on an Alienware right now. It was like, the minute I had the money, I was like, you know what? If I'm gonna splurge on one goddamn thing.
No. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a very good point, and I can actually tell you.
But I mean, like, it is overpriced, I have to say, but first off, it's a pretty ass case.
Yeah.
And also, like, I might have spent a grand on it, but I can, you know, I play whatever games I want, and also I do a lot of, I'd say the stuff I do in Photoshop is most likely more intensive on my computer than, like, Left 4 Dead.
Yeah,
and it does handle it very well. So if you do go Alienware, I've heard a lot of people say that they're shitty quality and shitty service, whatever.
They're probably good quality,
It's good quality, but you're paying for a name brand, you know, it's
basically
the same concept as, like, clothes or something.
And I can come at it from the mentality that I used to work at Dell, not only as a salesperson, but as tech support. And I can tell you, well, now, one, Alienware is owned by Dell.
Yeah.
So they're like a subsidiary. But there's a weird double-edged sword, because, yeah, you are paying a little bit more. It's almost kind of like getting a Mac, because you are paying more, but if you were in the market, I would recommend it. You know what I mean? Like, because if you're getting a Mac or if you're getting an Alienware, you know what you want it for. I mean, you've researched it enough that, you know, I am going to be gaming, or I'm going to be video editing, or I'm going to use this as a render farm, and it works great as that. Like, if you have the money, go for it. Because, one, you don't have to worry about, you know, well, the power supply that came with my other computer that I got at Best Buy isn't quite big enough to run my new sticks of memory and my graphics card. You don't kind of have to worry about that type of, you know, Frankensteining the thing.
Yeah, there's not going to be like an Intel card on an Alienware.
Exactly. Well, exactly. Yeah. And so, I mean, everything's kind of in one box. You get what you get. You know exactly what you're getting. And you just literally plug it up and you go. So you're paying for convenience.
And just to go back to the graphics cards, you know, if you are buying from, like, Dell Gateway or, you know, whatever, buying out of Best Buy, just make sure, you know, buy the kind of graphics on the specifications that's got either, you know, NVIDIA, GeForce, ATI, Radeon. Just look for those words. You'll be fine.
And all the major technology retailers, like I was going to say Circuit City, but they're kind of not around anymore. But let's say you go to a Best Buy, or even you go to a, like, if you're shopping online, I definitely recommend two websites. One is Newegg.com, which I think everyone already knows about. The second is Tiger Direct, and they have some great deals on there as well. But you can look at reviews. You can kind of see what other people are running on their system. Like, okay, well, I have this kind of motherboard. What would be compatible with this? Or I have a PCI, you know, a PCI Express X16 slot that's open. What kind of cards could I get that could run on, like, a 500-watt power supply? So it can get kind of, you know, overwhelming a little bit if you're just getting into it. But those places have great step-by-step tutorials as well. And in the review section, a lot of the people are really big tech heads. So they can kind of walk it through. And then you can always, like, private message someone on there and be like, hey, I have a quick question. They're more than happy to help. But there's also a website that I definitely recommend if you want to get in on the gaming side of things. There's a program that is it's online, and it's just in Google. Go in and type in "Can you run it?" Like, just "Can you run the game?" But it's called "Can you run it?" And that's the name of the website. And it gives a full list of, like, pretty popular games. I'm talking, you know, it does go back to stuff like, Star Wars Jedi Outcast 2 or something, you know, or Quake 3. It goes back to, like, Doom 3 stuff, all the way up to, like, Grand Theft Auto 4. It has a full list of games like Battlefield 2, just Oblivion, Elder Scrolls, you know, whatever you want to play. It has a full list of it, and you click "Can you run it?" And it runs a quick diagnostics on your machine. And then it gives you specifications of, like, okay, you have enough memory to run it. You have a good enough graphics card to run it. However, your processor isn't fast enough. And it'll, like, give you a play-by-play of what you need to run a certain game and what you have on your system. So that could be a great way to kind of benchmark and see, okay, I need a memory upgrade. Or, okay, I need, if I want to play Grand Theft Auto 4, I just need to get a different graphics card. You know, so, I mean, that's kind of a cool way to do it, too. So, and it's free. So that's the best kind of, thing. But, yeah, I just think, you know, more people should get into PC gaming. I think more people are because the PCs that they are selling in the stores now are better. They're much better quality because now people are kind of more demanding of what their computer can do.
Well, you also have to understand that there are already, you know, for anybody out there looking at that, there already are a ton of people in PC gaming. You know, there's already a huge established community, ton of content, you know, for anything mods. So join us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I will say that it is probably the best gaming community. I know I'm probably going to get hate mail for that, but
it's totally true. You don't 99% of the time you don't hop on, you know, a PC game and you're greeted with some 14-year-old going, "Oh, fuck you, you're gay." Ah.
Right. I mean, and I think a perfect example is you have the NARPig. NARPig's a great kid. Like, he is an awesome kid, and he's like, "I'm a legend. I'm a legend." Like,
that's the reason I kind of miss, since the last patch, I haven't found, like, a single all-talk server in Left 4 Dead, but I always loved it because, like, it would mostly just be both teams chatting, not so much like, "Oh, yeah, you Jew asshole faggot." It would just be like, "Oh, dude, nice pounce," or whatever. Like, you know, like, right, the NARPig thing. Like, all those, like, voices in the NARPig thing were on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so everyone was, you know, laughing their ass off at the game.
And oddly enough, the worst games that I've ever played as far as community goes on a PC game, well, easily the worst game I've ever played was World of Warcraft. The worst community of any game I've probably ever played. Like, worse than hardcore Counter-Strike, worse than, like, StarCraft, worse than, yeah. I mean,
Counter-Strike is pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, and it's actually getting better. For a while, for like a 2 or 3 year stint there, it was the scum of the earth. Like, it was horrifying. But now it's, World of Warcraft, man, it fucking sucks. Like, it's bad. I don't like it at all. Like, ugh. Something about
So join us, but stay away from World of Warcraft.
Yeah, stay. Fuck WoW.
The only thing about World of Warcraft I didn't like was the whole thing where I got into it and I felt like I was kind of like, it's one of those games where, like, it's kind of like playing, if anyone's ever played Warcraft 3, getting into a game of Dota, like Defense of the Ancients.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a newbie there. You have to, like, go in knowing exactly what you want to use, exactly what skills to use, exactly how to work this and that and everything. And otherwise, people are going to get pissed as hell at you.
Oh, that's very true. And
that's the vibe I got from WoW. It's like, if you don't know how to group properly, and it's very specific as to, like, who's order or whatever, you're just going to be some Leroy Jenkins asshole that people are just going to kick right out.
Yeah, that's absolutely very true. And I think that's what we should do for, like, the next, like, 2 or 3 minutes is hate on WoW. Because that'd be a poetic way to end the PC gaming special, is the one PC game that everybody knows about. We can just be elitist dicks about and say it's fucking god-awful. Like, I do not like WoW. I actually wrote an article about it because there's no, with other MMOs, like with City of Heroes and, you know, even Guild Wars, even, you know, freaking shit, even Titan Quest Online, there's like a culture. There's a certain mindset that the player base has. But with those games, it's rather inviting. Like, whenever you go in, like, I know, Brian, the last episode that was not aired because it was. We talked about how inviting the people at City of Heroes were and how they had kind of cool events like, "Hey, let's have a costume contest." And, "Hey, you know, yeah, sure, I'm a level 35, but I'll power down and help you get through a really tough warehouse." Or, you know, I mean, it was just a very open, inviting atmosphere. But with World of Warcraft, man, unless you – exactly what you're saying, George, unless you knew exactly what you were doing or unless you were going for a specific piece of gear, nobody wanted you. And that pissed me off to no end, because you have to think, 12 million people are playing this game, right? Where is the form of any sort of self-expression? Where is the, you know, there was no variety, because everyone was trying to be the same person. It's like, I want to get my tier 407 football shoulder pads, and I want my dual-wielding giant fucking, like, railroad tracks as swords. And, you know, I mean, everyone was getting the same thing, so everyone looked identical. And you weren't good unless you wore a specific hat. I'm like, what the fuck?
Or you don't have the piece, or you're dumb.
Well, exactly, and that's exactly how it is. It's like you're playing the game wrong. It's like, fuck you, I'm spending $15 a month. I'll play whatever goddamn game I want to.
Yeah,
you know, it was really hostile, and I just didn't like any of it, man. It was bad times. But yeah, if you want to get into PC gaming, now's the perfect time to, because PCs are actually, and like PC components are the cheapest they have ever been. Like,
and they're only getting cheaper. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was shocked, because I remember back, you know, in the day, thinking of a video card, like, I thought the same way other people did, like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm paying this much for a video card, it's going to die in 6 months. And, you know, first off, I've had, you know, this thing for about 2 years now, and still it's probably going to run Grand Theft Auto fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, actually, if I actually wanted to upgrade my video card, I'd spend, like, $100 or something, maybe, if I wanted to get, like, top of the line
exactly.
or something.
Exactly. I know the highest rated graphics card right now is probably the 4870, I would say, by ATI.
Yeah.
That brand new, sealed in the box, if you go to a store and pick it up, it's $169.99. And that is the graphics card to have. Like, that by itself runs Crysis at like 30 frames a second. Because there's a gig of onboard memory. The thing flies. It uses GDDR3. I mean, it uses like top-of-the-line stuff. But it's under $200. And if you would have told me even a year and a half ago that the top-of-the-line video card would be less than, like, $500, I would have laughed at you.
Oh, yeah, I'm used to that.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, now it's getting cheaper and cheaper, and the performance is outstanding. Because, I mean, nobody's making a bunk product anymore. Like, nobody's making, well, if you buy this processor, it's garbage. Like, no, it all works. I mean, it really depends on what you want to do with your computer.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that brings us to a close, and this has been an awesome, awesome episode.
I hope to God people are hearing it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
I'm recording. Wes is recording. We had a backup contingency.
Listen, man, after the last few, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, no, I feel you. But I do think it was worth the wait. If this one is live, I think it was worth, like, I really do. I really do, because this one was a little bit more on topic. This one was a little bit, I mean, we got a lot covered, made some really good recommendations, and we talked about PopCap.
But we didn't have Half-Life.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. That's one of my favorite games, Half-Life.
We can't recreate it, man.
No,
we can't recreate it, but we do have to talk about it. Basically, what happened on the first recording is we were talking about games that we would recommend, and I don't know if, like, Brian had a brain aneurysm or, like, what happened, but he said... He said that his favorite game was Half-Life, and I don't know if he was, like, in the middle of a burp or, like, what happened, but this is exactly how it sounded. He was like, I'd really recommend Half-Life.
and then I stopped myself, and I was like, wait, did I just say Half-Life?
We could not stop laughing. You were, like, 3 or 4 sentences past it. Like, you were talking about how good Half-Life was, and I was, like, holding my mouth shut because I was in tears. Just... the premise of a game called Half-Life made my day. Oh, but the legend of Half-Life will live on.
Yeah.
In our hearts.
Forever. Forever in our hearts. And with that, thank you so much, George, for being on.
No problem.
Yes, man.
Come back anytime, man.
No. Whenever you'll have me, man.
Absolutely. I think what we can do, if we could get Jan on here and have another 4-seater, have another 4-person podcast. Because was Jan part of the NARPIG?
Nah, the 4-person FR.
Oh, yeah. It was K-Man. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Jan is a Adventurelo regular, and, you know, I'm always hanging out with him, playing City Heroes, Titan Quest. We've played a lot of PC games together.
Yeah.
He's
good people.
Way back.
But and as always, Mr. Brian Belita, it's been a pleasure.
Hey, Half-Life.
Half-Life. And with that, I'm Wes Gardner, and for the Nitro Beard cast, we out.
Good night.
Later.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we have to talk about me watching, like, 10-year-old geek movies. Being way behind the times. Because I'm not
going to... Like, don't you have friends that would, you know, handle this for you?
Like, we have to go see it. Because, see, I haven't even seen The Watchmen. Like, I did not go see Watchmen.
Oh, dude.
I've read it so many times, but I still didn't go see it.
Right.
And I didn't see Spider-Man 3, which, from what I hear, is actually probably a bonus. But
yeah, you want to avoid that one.
But yeah, I'd like come into the room. So have you guys heard about this movie called Toy Story? Like, it would be like a decade off, and people are like, oh my god, what are you doing?
I saw this movie, War Games. Yeah. Ferris Bueller's Day Off is a hoot.
Oh, it's such a great one. 16 Candles, it made me tear up a little bit.
I connect so much with the Breakfast Club.
He's a rebel with a heart of gold.
An addiction to marijuana.
Oh, that's a different movie.
Okay, you guys didn't see that one?
No.
Okay, so... Yeah. Let's ban the show. Yeah, whatever. I'm good.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
That was like a non sequitur to what you were...
Yeah.
Non sequitur to the other sentence.
So what did we just decide on? I can't...
Yeah. I think we're going to start in a few minutes. But, like, we should have no planning and no pacing that we should go off of. Okay. Just be like, we've tried this 3 goddamn times. We'll just open it with that and be like, we're just hoping that this one works. We're just hoping this one gets on the air.
Yeah. Next time, we're just gonna, like, sit in Skype for, like, 2 days, just take whatever works and mash it together.
Yeah, well, I'll just edit it. And it'll just be a big, like, Woodstock festival of audio ideas.
We'll put it on YouTube. It'll be great.
Yeah, it's our experimental album.